Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you will see the wide variety of shows that are offered by the network. If you're not able to listen to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live broadcast. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the Hosted Shows link. Then click on the link to the show that you want to be a guest, and click on the Register to be a Guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there's information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansimberg.com. Again, that email address is alan@alansimberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. Again, that number to either call or text is 281-785-0660. If you want to call into the show with a question or a brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363. Again, that number to call with a question or a brief comment is 347-989-1363, and press option 1 to connect with the producer. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg or at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can also tweet me at alansimberg@alansimberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being sponsored by Standard Process. Standard Process has a farm in Wisconsin where they grow organic vegetables, and on that farm, they harvest those vegetables and put them into whole food supplements. Now, there's a difference between whole food supplements and the supplements that you might ordinarily buy either in a pharmacy or in a health food store. The difference simply is whole food supplements are made from whole foods. The primary ingredient in them is whole foods. The other supplements really contain synthetic supplements. They contain synthetic ingredients. They may have some food in them, but their primary makeup is not food, and most often there is no food in there at all. There may be a trace of something here or there. Now, I want to explain the reason why that's important. The reason that's important is our bodies were made to thrive on food. When we put chemicals in and when we put genetically modified food into our systems, our bodies really don't know what to do with that. And they're really not able to use them to the fullest extent possible that they're needed. Whole food supplements, on the other hand, contain all the known and or unknown ingredients that foods contain that help us not only to maintain our health, but also to attain better health. Because we're giving our bodies what it needs in order to do what it ordinarily would do. Now, I also want to mention that Standard Process has kind of like a sister or a partner company called MediHerb, and that's MEDI-herb. And the reason I want to mention this company as well is their herbal products use unstandardized ingredients. And the reason why that's so important is unstandardized ingredients are ingredients in the form as nature intended them to be. When you get herbs that are made from standardized ingredients. Again, it's the same thing as taking nutritional supplements that have synthetic ingredients. Your body has a difficult time managing that and really making the best use of it. Now, one other point I want to make about the whole food supplements is that whatever you take into your body, it needs all the known and unknown substances in order to work efficiently and effectively. When you take synthetic vitamins, if you're not eating a really, truly healthy diet, and I'm not using diet in the traditional sense, I'm using diet in the sense of food intake, your body will have to give up some of the nutrients it has in it that the synthetic vitamins are missing in order to combine and be as effective as possible. The problem with this is that over time, your body can be drained of the nutrients it needs, and you can end up having the symptoms that those supplements were actually supposed to take care of. Now, before I introduce my first guest, actually, it's going to be my only guest today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about emotion today. I think it's really important to understand how emotion affects us and the different ways that it affects us. And most importantly, what to do to manage your emotions. Now, in a technical sense, emotion is a state of awareness in which various internal sensations are experienced, like sadness or happiness. Basically, all that's saying is that when you experience an emotion, there's an awareness there. And, you know, some examples of emotion are sadness or happiness. Now, emotion can be produced by a thought, memory, or an external motivator, and can often change our physical state. Now, when I'm talking about an external motivator, I'm basically just talking about anything that happens in your life, anything that happens that can affect you. So, for example, you may be driving to work. You end up getting into an accident. That's an external motivator. Emotions are often said to be long-term states. So it's not that you just feel the emotion and it just goes away in 2 minutes. Some can, but generally emotions tend to stay with us. They stay stored in our body, and they can come and go. So an example might be is if you're in love, that emotion hopefully and usually will last for years. Sorrow, too, can also take a long time to go away. Now, because emotions are internal, you have to change your mindset to change your emotion, and this process takes time, particularly if the emotion is related to a traumatic state or a traumatic event. So, for example, using an external event just to kind of give an opposite example, let's say something happens in your house. Well, you change around whatever it is, you know, maybe you had a little bit of a flood, maybe there was a pipe leakage or whatever, and you just change it, and then your water works. Now, with emotions, that's different. It doesn't take such a short amount of time in order to get rid of the emotion, and there's so many reasons for that. You know, it can be chemically based. It can be that the emotion was related to a past traumatic event. And all in all, this can be very challenging. I'm going to explain why this happens and the techniques that have been shown to be effective in decreasing the effect of emotion at the end of today's show during my life-changing insight tip of the week. We're going to go to commercial break now, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my guest for today.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve. earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tuff Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tuff Talk Radio Network can help you, go to TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tuff Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. My guest today is Jeff Rasley. Jeff is a retired lawyer, professor in the Honors Program at Butler University, organizes and leads Himalayan trekking expeditions, and is president of the Bassa Village Foundation, which raises money for culturally sensitive development work in the Bassa area of Nepal. Jeff has authored 7 books and has published numerous articles in academic and mainstream periodicals. His most recent book, which was published this month, is titled Godless, Living a Valuable Life Beyond Beliefs, and it is available through Amazon.com. And now let's learn more about Jeff. Hello, Jeff, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Alan. Good to be with you.
Thanks. It's great having you as a guest. As a way of helping the audience to kind of get a sense about you, if you could please just tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how your life experiences kind of got you going to where you're doing today.
Sure. Well, I grew up in a small city in northern Indiana, Goshen, Indiana, and I lived in what was a really sort of uniform environment. The town was almost exclusively white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And when I got to be a teenager, I was a curious lad and really could hardly wait to get out of town and see the world. So after one semester of college, I dropped out and walked to the edge of town, stuck my thumb out, and hitchhiked across the country. And I had really marvelous adventures and met all sorts of people that were quite different than the good middle-class folks that I had grown up with. And it sort of lit a fire that continues to burn within me to experience the world and diverse cultures and different sorts of people in different countries. And so over my lifetime, I became an avid traveler, have visited over 40 countries, 48 states. And in that, doing different sorts of travel, which included motorcycling, scuba diving, mountain climbing, sea kayaking. I began writing about these travel adventures, but tried to do it not just from a descriptive perspective of, you know, I had this great adventure, but from more of a spiritual perspective of what had I gained and what could I offer as insights to other people from encountering different cultures and people who had a different point of view from me. And eventually I connected with this little village in the Himalayas in Nepal, and have been partnering with this village for about the last 6 years in trying to do development work where we over here in the States raise money, and over there they develop their infrastructure with projects like a school, electricity, water, toilets, smokeless stove, that kind of thing, to improve their material standard of living. And in return, myself and the members of our foundation have gained a tremendous amount learning from these folks about community and a different approach to life that they have, which has been very valuable to me, and that's part of what inspired this latest book.
Okay. Now, I understand that one of your major claims or major focuses of your book is that beliefs divide us and values unite us, and that in your book you make the case that religious extremism and political gridlock, that is, beliefs, can be defeated with pragmatic decision-making guided by shared values. So let's talk a little bit about what you mean by religious extremism and political gridlock, and then we can go on to the solutions that you suggest.
Okay. Well, of course, the most extreme example of religious and political extremism that's been in the news is ISIS, which really hit home recently because the young man that they executed last week is from our neighborhood. And I didn't know Peter Kasich, but I know many people who knew the young man and who know his family. And here you have an organization that believes it has the truth, and its truth is a very narrow interpretation of Sunni Islam. And the extremeness of their beliefs, they think anyone else who doesn't hold that belief is not really human and can be treated as an object to be executed if they think that serves their political needs, or just to be killed for not agreeing with their beliefs. So now, of course, we all acknowledge, oh, you know, oh my God, that's a rare case. These people are fanatics. Most believers are not like that, and that's true to a point. Religious extremists who would kill other people are certainly a minority, but they keep rising up. I mean, historically, this happens over and over again. And a very dangerous formula is a doctrine, a religious or a political doctrine, that really has its own internal logic and that seems to make sense, and combine that with a charismatic leader, and you have a very dangerous combination. You know, Adolf Hitler and Nazism, of course, is one, but Lenin and Stalin and Marxism is a more political example. And then there are many little or smaller examples. Here in Indianapolis, one very well-known one is Jim Jones, who started out as a very nice, beloved minister, and who developed into the monster who led the people, turned his church into the people's temple, led his followers over to Guyana, and eventually were over 900 of them drank poison Kool-Aid in a mass suicide. So, you know, these sorts of events happen over and over because many people have a desire to be told what to believe and then to be able to base the way they live on a very strict set of rules and beliefs. And again, you combine that with a ruthless, charismatic leader, and very bad things are going to happen.
So in a sense, and what I'm going to say is kind of simplistic in a way, but I think we're really talking about extremism being based on a very narrow set of beliefs that are very firmly held to and that are kind of anchored to someone who everyone believes is the one that they should listen to.
Yeah, and it really dovetails into what you were talking about in the intro about emotions, because, you know, why would somebody want to, you know, wrap their lives around with this strict set of beliefs and to become a follower of one particular leader? And it's largely based on fear. To think about the deep questions of life. What's the meaning of life? Is there God or isn't there God? All those deep, unresolvable questions. A lot of people react to that fearfully. And it's like, I don't know what the meaning of my life is. So then you take a very rigid set of beliefs, and, well, there you go. Here are all the answers. You just follow this ideology or this doctrine, and you know what to do. Or you follow this leader, and he'll tell you what it is you need to do. And so that the sort of the fearfulness, the anxiety of being a free, conscious being is now ended. You've lost your freedom, but you've also lost that insecurity and anxiety that goes with that existential freedom.
Yeah, and I agree with what you just said. I definitely think that a major component is the emotion of fear. I also think that another part of that is self-esteem, that people tend to give up their right to make a decision for themselves because they don't have the confidence that what they believe is true, or they don't have the confidence to question, and they just follow for a variety of reasons. And the feeling that they get is so reinforcing, because obviously if you have low self-esteem and you're in a group which obviously has an awful big influence on what someone says and does, and especially with how they behave, and you're getting reinforcement for following, that's going to become self-perpetuating.
Sure. I mean, you know, think back to when we were in middle school and we all wanted to be in the in crowd, and people would do, you know, petty, mean, nasty little things to be in the in crowd, to win acceptance. And fast forward to college age and look at what young men and women will go through to join a fraternity or sorority. They'll, you know, subject themselves to abuse. They will engage in ridiculous activities that they may be ashamed of a few years later. But there's this group, this power of the group conformism and peer pressure that sort of sucks people in and will cause them to do things that, if they're independent and thinking rationally, and that they wouldn't do. But that group dynamic has that effect on people, and it relieves you of personal responsibility, because you're conforming to the group's culture. And There's a comfort in that. And yeah, somebody who's confident, who knows him or herself well, who's been introspective and really has a sense of who I am, well, that situation isn't going to work with that sort of person. Unfortunately, there are many personalities that are more sheep-like, and who want to be led. I mean, look at the demographics of the people that ISIS is recruiting. It's young people, adolescents, young adults, most of whom are disaffected, probably unemployed. And here this great crusade of the jihad is offering them meaning. They can give up their lives for this great cause.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. I want to do a little bit of a shift. I also want us to be aware, I'm coming up to a commercial break, but we have a few minutes. So depending on how deep we start to get, I may have to interrupt to go to commercial break. So I just want to make you aware of that. But I wanted to do a little bit of a switch now and then talk about the pragmatism that you talk about and how pragmatism can really help people not to be, well, either maybe attracted to such extremism or maybe once they're in the process, what it can help them to get out of it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. One of my three majors in college was philosophy, and so I'd encountered the philosophy of pragmatism decades ago. But in researching the book, I became reacquainted with it. And interestingly, the only school of philosophy that's native to America is pragmatism. All the other philosophical schools that have developed since we've been a country have come from Europe or Asia, other parts of the world. But our one true philosophy is pragmatism. And in simple terms, what it stands for is approaching problems as if you're a doctor. And so a social problem, an ethical problem, an economic problem, a philosophical, theological problem, any sort of problem, you look at as it's a patient that has an illness, and so you try to find out what are the facts to understand the symptoms of this illness, and then you try to figure out a cure. And so you approach it non-ideologically, and that's how it fits into the book. You approach it as a rational issue that will have some, hopefully, rational solution that will cure the symptoms of the social ill or the economic ill. And so the way it fits into what I'm arguing for in the book is if you have a personal problem or as a society, we have a political problem to solve, you start out with understanding what are the fundamental values at play here, what really matters here, and then you just try to find a practical solution for it. You don't try to push an ideological solution. And if you look at the way Congress is operating, it's doing exactly the opposite of what I'm suggesting. You have Republicans on the right, Democrats on the left. Both of them have their ideologies that they're pushing, and they're just running up against brick walls because, of course, neither side is going to say, oh, you're right. We should all be liberals, or, oh, hey, you're right, we should all be conservatives. It's just this endless beating each other's heads against their opposing brick walls. But if they would step back and they would really look at what values does this issue bring up, they probably realize that they have a tremendous amount of agreement. Most people share the same fundamental values. So if you start with, what are our values? Okay, we probably agree on them. Now it's just a matter of finding a solution that works.
Yeah. Now we need to go to commercial break. But when we come back, I want to pick up at that point because I think we can provide some really interesting information to the listening audience in the direction that we're going. But before we go to commercial break, I just want to remind everyone that this preceding segment has been brought to you by Standard Process. And Standard Process is a company that has a farm in Wisconsin where they have an organic farm and they grow organic vegetables and they use those vegetables to produce whole food supplements. If you have any questions about Standard Process or MediHerb, feel free to call or text me during the week. My number is 281-785-0660. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to continue my interview with Jeff.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Stism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Stism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to SellingInASkirtWithJudyHoberman.com.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. I've been interviewing Jeff Rasley, and we've been talking about his book, Godless, Living a Valuable Life Beyond Beliefs, which was just made available this month. And Jeff, before we went to commercial break, we were talking about the idea of identifying solutions from a more practical, pragmatic point of view. And you know, you were basically explaining that rather than coming from an ideological perspective, really look at the situation for what it is, identify the values in it, identify possible solutions that are practical. One of the things that I think would be really interesting would be to talk a little bit about, you know, an example of maybe something that's happening today. And, you know, as you mentioned, Democrats on the right, Republicans on the left, I'm right, you're wrong. And maybe we could talk a little bit about how we might think about resolving or coming to some sort of mutual agreement about a problem that our country is facing today. Now, one that I could think of, but if you want to speak of a different one, it's fine with me. One that I'm thinking of is Obamacare.
Okay, well, let me...
Or we could do immigration if you'd like. I mean, they're all...
Yeah, we have a bunch of great issues that are dividing us currently, don't we?
Yeah.
But let me explain the method for conflict resolution that I advocate. And
Good.
I want to say I learned this from three sources. One, I was involved early on when the effort within the legal profession began to develop what was called form normally alternative dispute resolution, which really is mediation. So instead of litigating, taking your case to court, try to settle it through mediation. And then the other two sources were my experience with the people who live in Bassa Village and how they make community decisions. And the third was Quakers. And I became acquainted with a local Quaker meeting here in Indianapolis because they offered to be the sponsor some years ago for one of the projects that we were raising money for the Bassa Village Foundation. And I started going to that Quaker meeting and joined it a few years ago. And what's really striking is you have these two communities on opposite sides of the world. People are about as different as you can be between Indianapolis Quakers and the tribe is called the Rai, the Rai people of Bassa Village, Nepal. But they both came up with the same method generations ago to solve communal problems. And the way it works is you get the whole community together. A moderator tells the community what the issue is that needs to be decided. Everybody who wants to say anything talks through it. And then they take time to meditate silently. When a period of silent meditation has passed, anybody else who wants to say something, who now is approaching it from a spiritual standpoint, of course, can do so. And then the moderator starts suggesting ways to solve the problem. And instead of putting it to a vote, the group talks through it until a consensus is reached. A vote is never taken, so a majority doesn't rule. People will come away from it not entirely happy because some people might think, well, you know, I came up with a better idea, but I couldn't convince the group of my idea. But what you end up with is an agreement or a solution that everybody can live with. Some people might not think it's the best, but it's one everybody is willing to say, yeah, okay, we think that'll work. Let's give it a try. And so these, you know, American Quakers and these the Rai tribe of Himalayan mountain dwellers both came up with this method, and I've seen it work in both communities, and it requires a high level of trust within the community. Because you have to trust that other people are operating in good faith and that nobody is trying to push a personal agenda or a particular ideology, that everybody is just open to trying to figure out what will work. And so it does, and at least it works for both of these communities. So the way I would suggest that we approach Obamacare or immigration or any of these other really difficult national issues is to try out that methodology. And so have the people who are going to be the decision makers sit down together, commit to not coming into this conference from an ideological point of view, but to first explore what are the values at work here, and do we share those same values? And my guess is the Democrats and Republicans all agree, you know, we value health care for everybody in our country. We would like to have every single American have access to good and decent health care. Yeah, I think it's a rare person who would say, no, I don't want X number of Americans to be able to have access to health care, right? That would be kind of perverse. So we would explore what are the values that we share? We're probably going to agree on them. And then we're going to start talking about, okay, so how can we make those values real in a way that may not be perfect, but that we can all live with? And I can't tell you what that answer is as far as Obamacare or immigration is, but I do think if the decision making was approached in that way, if people would sort of put down their ideological swords and look at what are the values at work here, do we agree on them? And now, can we just find something that's going to work, that's actually, you know, going to promote those values? Can we come up with a healthcare system that would do that? You know, I'll bet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really, instead of allowing personal interest, I guess feelings of obligation to other people to keep you in office and to give you all the perks of the office, really just identifying the values. What is it we really want to accomplish here? Not what are we being pushed to accomplish, but what really serves the greatest good? That's another thing that I hear you implying. What serves the greatest good, and how can we accomplish this given our differences as people, but focusing on the goal rather than winning or losing, focusing on the accomplishment of identifying a goal that will serve the greatest good. Would you agree with that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's disheartening when you watch on C-SPAN or one of the news shows, the Congress people in a committee hearing where they're, you know, grilling some witness on, you know, whatever the issue is. And so often, you know, these people, they're obviously just playing to the audience. You know, they have a certain political base that they're going to try to please, and now they know I'm on camera. And instead of engaging in a dialogue with the witness that's being interviewed about, hey, you know, you're supposed to be an expert. What can you tell me? What can I learn from you? How can we figure out this problem? It's often, you know, the congressperson shouting at the witness, you know, trying to dominate that person with my powerful personality and making political points to please my political base. And as long as that's the approach, we're just going to have the same intractable problems where the left has this point of view, the right has that point of view, and they refuse to try to work together to just come up with a practical solution.
Yeah. You know, it's funny listening to you. It's so simple, but it sure doesn't seem easy based on people's personalities.
No, I don't think it is. And I do find it, like I said, disheartening when I look at political gridlock. And every 2 to 4 years, we get kind of hopeful again with new elections and hope people will come in with that, you know, as statesmen, you know, coming in really looking, like, as you said, after what's in the best interest of the whole country. And so often we just see more of the same. And occasionally there's that rare politician who really seems to be a statesman. We had a congressman from Indianapolis for a long time, a guy named Andy Jacobs, who refused to campaign, would not accept any campaign donations. First time he ran, he did campaign. After that, I mean, campaigned by walking around knocking on doors, personally introducing himself, didn't buy any TV radio ads. And then after that, he said, look at my record. If you agree with what I've done, vote for me. If you don't, vote against me. And he won every single time. He retired. You know, he didn't get beat. He retired. because people really respected his attitude. And his attitude was, we have problems, let's work it out. It doesn't matter that I'm a Democrat. Let's just figure out how to solve the problem. But yeah. He was a rare bird.
And then quite clearly, what I'm about to say is obviously not a rocket scientist statement, but getting more people like that could really make a very big difference.
I think so. And so how do we go about getting more people like that?
That's and, just right.
Yeah. It's not easy. But to take it down to a more local level, we just had the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. Right?
Mm. Yeah.
Really tough situation. I mean, young man is shot, killed by a police officer. And on the one hand, you have people who think the police officer was completely justified in what he did. On the other hand, you have people who think it was murder and are outraged. Now, last night, it was announced that no charges would be filed. And so what do we get? We get a riot. Now, what if instead of people reacting out of fury or reacting just ideologically sort of, for the cops or against the cops, what the local people responded was, okay, there was a problem with sensitivity here. Mm-hmm. The police officer and the young black man had a problem, and obviously there was a breakdown in communications. Mm-hmm. And a young man is dead. So the local African-American population, how about a response of, we need to get more of our young men enrolled in the police academy.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a problem with white cops in our community communicating with young black men, how about we get more young black men to be cops?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to solve all the problems, but it's a rational response to an issue rather than an emotional or ideological response. And I can't help but think that over time, if that police force was more equally integrated, because the reality is that community is primarily black and the police force is primarily white. If you had a balance which really reflected the character of the community more, the culture of the community, you probably have a lot better communications between the cops and the local people. So that's, that's another example is if you take a problem, let's look at it pragmatically. What is a solution that everybody could agree with or accept? And I would mm-hmm. think, mostly local people would think, hey, that's right. Let's do that. Let's get more of our young men and young women onto the police force. And the police mm-hmm. force, assuming that they want better communications with the community, would respond positively to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great example of what we've been talking about. Now, we're coming to the end of your interview, but before we end, I'd like you to talk a little bit about what you hope people will get out of reading your book, and also if there are any last comments you'd like to make, and also please give the listening audience your contact information and the services that you provide.
Well, thanks, Alan. The easiest way to contact me and to see what the book is about is to go to my website, which is Jeffrey, Jeffrey, Rassley, RASLEY.com. So just my name and the .com. And the book is available paperback or ebook through Amazon. So put in my name or the title of the book and you'll find it there. And the message of the central message of the book is, which you already said, Alan, is beliefs divide us, values unite us. And so on a personal level, take some time, be introspective, know yourself. What are your values? And as you understand what your values are, let those values guide your actions instead of basing what you do on irrational emotions or basing what you do on an abstract belief system. Why not let your values be your guides? And then the other piece of it is, on a social, political, religious level, how about if we help to develop communities that take this approach to solving problems? Instead of looking at an issue like it's a fight, who can win, who can beat the other side, why don't we look at issues on the political, social, communal level as problems to be solved, where we unite around common shared values, and then we just work together to figure out a solution to the problem?
That sounds really good to me. Any last comments, Jeff, before we end?
Oh, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, and I appreciated your introduction on emotion. I don't address emotion really directly in the book, although it does come up tangentially. And, you know, we are emotional beings. I mean, that is part of human being. And that's a good thing. I mean, you wouldn't want to go through life like a robot without feelings, you know, just being sort of a rational computer that has a body. Emotions are sort of the best and the worst of us. But
yeah,
if we get to know who we are, what do we really care about, what are our values, then I think our emotions will be more productive and less damaging.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for being a guest today. And have a great rest of the afternoon and a wonderful week. And also, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, thank you, man. happy Thanksgiving to you too, my friend. And it was great talking with you, and hope we'll get to do it again.
Me too. I look forward to it.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week.
Feeling burnt out or lost on where to go next? Feeling like you own a job instead of a business, or that your business is running you instead of you running it? Expert business advisor Mike Calderwood can help. Mike uses a personalized, strategic, and proven approach to help you identify what is and isn't working in your business. He'll then help you establish an action plan so your business can thrive. Mike Calderwood, providing you straightforward solutions to gain a real advantage in your business. Learn more at MikeCalderwood.net.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. At the beginning of today's show, I talked about emotion and that it can take a long time to overcome the effects of an emotional event. If any of you missed the beginning of today's show, please listen to the archive broadcast at www.lifechanginsightswithdralensimberg.com. My life-changing insight tip of the week has to do with how difficult it can be to manage emotions related to a traumatic event, including any form of abuse, physical injury, being in or witnessing a life-threatening situation, or the sudden or perhaps even not sudden loss of a loved one. We can only use our minds to a certain extent to help us to manage our emotions. The primary reason for this is we have emotional experiences throughout our lives, and the impact of past experiences can be stored in our minds or bodies and can be felt or reemerge years later. Talking about them cannot always either relieve or fully relieve the effect of past emotions on current functioning. So basically, just to elaborate on this a little bit, it's important to understand that emotions, by definition, are irrational. That doesn't mean that you cannot apply a rational approach. Actually, as my guest today, Jeff Rasley, was talking about, you can apply a rational approach to situations that have emotion, because obviously most situations have varying degrees of emotion. But only applying a rational approach doesn't really, in a lot of cases, depending on the intensity of the effect of the event on the emotions, just talking about it is not usually enough. Besides talking modalities, there are other ways to address emotional issues. Some of them are hypnosis, neuro-linguistic programming, emotional freedom technique, which is also known as tapping, and NET, which is known as neuro-emotional technique. All of those work with the body's subtle energy fields and can help to diminish the impact of past traumatic emotional experiences on current day functioning. So for those of you that have some understanding and experience with spirituality and energy medicine, so another example of that might be muscle testing, where you test to see what makes the body weak and what helps to keep it or make it strong. If you address the emotional aspect through the energy system, what you're actually doing is, in a sense, you're neutralizing the emotional impact of the event on the body, which then also obviously would have an effect on the emotions. If you have any questions about anything I've said, feel free to call or text me during the week at 281-785-0660. Or you can email me at alan@alansimberg.com. I want to thank you all for joining me this afternoon. I want to invite you back to next week's show, next Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock, Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg. I wish you all a happy and safe Thanksgiving and a great afternoon and a wonderful week. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.